9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Ralph Waldo Emerson said, when a man's mind is stretched to new limits, it can never be satisfied with the original. Paul is trying to say to the church at Philippi and to the believers, you have got to expect more from your salvation. There's more to being saved than being church members, working on committees, being a part of certain ministries, that there's more to being a member of the body of Christ than most believers ever tap into. And that's one of the reasons why the enemy is able to defeat us in daily life. That's why the enemy is able many times to trip us up when life throws certain balls at us and curves at us, and when certain things happen to us and we don't know how to deal with them with the authority and the power that Jesus has given to us in his word and through his will and in his way. And so I want you to understand that, because when Paul challenges the Philippians, he's also challenging us. And there are four things that he begins in this verse to talk to us about. And he wants us to be aware of, to expand our minds so that we would have a Christ-like mind, so that we would understand that we ought to be in the image of Jesus Christ. We ought to be exercising the authority of Jesus Christ, and there ought to be so much in us that's like him, that when folks see us, they see the Jesus in us. Now, I want you to read the New Living Translation, verses 1 and 2, if you don't mind, Rita.
Verse 1, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ?
Okay. Take your time. I want us to walk through this. Is there any encouragement for belonging to Christ? Now, why is this important? Because that reaches a time, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but God knows I have, when your soul wants more, desires more, needs more. And there are things that are external that cannot encourage you, cannot build you up, cannot give to you what your soul is aching for. Those things are going to be in Christ and Christ alone. And so the reality is, there is but one true place your soul can be encouraged, and that's in Jesus Christ. Having the understanding of why you are where you are and you are who you are. So Do you understand? He's trying to help you think beyond the norm. Go beyond regular church life and how we do things and how things are done and run to the way that Christ would have them to be done. Read on, reading.
Any comfort from his love.
Any comfort from his love. Encouragement now. Comfort from his love. Listen, you know why people look for love in all the wrong places? Because they don't tap into Jesus' love. When you've truly tapped into Jesus' love, let me tell you, that love is so fulfilling underneath the skin. Yes, it's all right to have the love of the human touch and the humankind, but that love in itself cannot fulfill you underneath the skin and what the soul needs that comes only from Christ Jesus. And so you've got to get the comfort of real love. And once you get that straight, listen, the rest will come. And if it doesn't, it's still all right, because he fills you up to overflowing, and anything else you get is just land. Yeah. I wish I had somebody. Next one.
Any fellowship together in the Spirit.
Any fellowship together in the Spirit. Why is this important? Because something is wrong when we come to church and you fellowship in a spirit and I fellowship in a spirit and you fellowship in a spirit and all of us are fellowshipping in spirits that ain't the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is moving and flowing, the people of God who love God and know God loves them, who are encouraged by him and the fellowship with him, knows that the Holy Spirit of God will touch the soul of every believer and harmonize us and unify us. There are two things you need to recognize that happens when we are fellowshipping together with the Spirit. There is unity and community. Let me say it again. There is unity and community. When we are in unity with the Holy Spirit is going to join us with kindred spirits, like spirits. That means we now become a community of unified folk. So as a community, we ought to be saying the same thing. We ought to be feeling the same way. We ought to be on the same page. Are y'all talking to me in the house? See, that's when the Holy Spirit controls everything and we're not doing our own thing. All right, read on.
Are your hearts tender and compassionate?
My. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? It's the fourth thing. I've seen some of the hardest, coldest, meanest folk in the church of God. And what hurts so much is that they don't understand that's not a spirit of Christ. I don't understand. Listen, we have our differences. We have our disagreements. The old folk used to say teeth and tongue fall out, but they work together. They stay together. How many times have you ever been eating and your teeth bit your tongue? You didn't cut your tongue out because your teeth bit them, or you didn't pull your teeth out because it bit your tongue. Your tongue was in the wrong place. Teeth was in the same place it's always been. Tongue jumped underneath them teeth. They're going to get mad because the teeth bit them. But what happens is, if we don't learn that there are some people, listen at me well, who are not where you are, have not grown to the maturity level that you're on, don't have that place of sensitivity and longevity with Christ that you have, then you've got to realize that it's your job to be compassionate enough to understand they're still growing. And I'm going to caution you here to not think that you have stopped growing. But you've just grown a little further than they have grown. And you have the compassion enough to help them to look over their faults, to be able to, instead of setting, you know, going off and setting a big wall between you, to say, listen, if I offended you, I'm sorry, that was not my intent. I can tell you've been a little different. You've been a little salty with me. You're not acting the way that, you know, you used to speak and smile. Now you grumble when I speak at you in the morning. If I've done you anything, matter of fact, let's discuss what I've done. Because obviously it's on your mind, because I must have forgotten or didn't recognize what I've done. So let's work it out. See, we're brothers and sisters in the faith. I don't care what your last name is, what your bloodline is. When it comes to us being in Christ, we are one blood. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we've got to act like that. All right, Rita, move on.
Verse 2. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other.
Say that again.
Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other.
Now wait, Paul is saying now, because he's trying to get them to understand that they've got to expand their minds. They can't be caught up in stuff that just don't matter. They can't be in their own little groups with their own little issues, with their own little this and their own little that, and you're not a part of my group, so I can't really fellowship with you. I can't really hang with you. You ain't, y'all hear me? And so you've got to recognize we have got to come together. You can't get to heaven by yourself. Once you became saved, God commissioned you to be a witness and a missionary and to minister to all those the Spirit of God gives you unction to. You don't have to be a preacher to be a minister. Some of you are confused. You think just because God called you to witness that means you're supposed to preach. No, every believer is supposed to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer should be able to minister through that testimony, through the word of God, by the leading and unctioning of the Holy Spirit. You have got to put into action all that you know and all that the Spirit of God gives you to utter to others. Yeah. Read that part again, brother.
Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other.
We've got to stop being half-hearted with one another. We've got to stop being fake and phony. We've got to stop hating on one another. That's what that really means. We've got to agree together wholeheartedly. We've got to come together and understand. Listen, if I don't understand you, it's my job to help you understand me, and it's your job to help me understand you. We've got to learn to agree because of what the Word of God says, not about how I feel or how you feel. Now, Paul is saying this because here's the point I need you to understand. Any real true bishop, any real true pastor, any real true teacher, any real true parent wants their children or their underlings to follow suit in the example that they give. And so it makes them joyful not only to express and to explain the things that they're trying to encourage them to be and to become, but to bring their joy to a full level is when they see their words put in action by their students. Are you hearing me? See, my joy can't be full just because I preach the word. My joy becomes full when I see you living the word and standing on the word and saying, Pastor, you said one Sunday, the Bible says this, and I found it in the word, and I've been standing on that word, and it's been rough, but you were right. God holds up his word and those who stand on his word. And if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be here. You then begin to see the growth and development, and that's where the joy becomes full. We have Sunday school teachers here who teach students on Sunday morning. And yet the joy doesn't come just because they have done their homework and they have prayed and they have taken the time to meditate and then present the word with excellence. The joy comes in when they have done all of that and present that word, and their students hear that word and then heed that word, follow that word, do that word, and then the joy begins to bubble up and overflow. Read the next part.
Loving one another.
You ain't even got no further than that. Loving one another. I must admit that the only way you can really love one another is with the love of God. Because people don't have to do you anything, I've discovered, for you to not love them. You know, you could understand if, you know, they have harmed you, they have hurt your feelings, they've done you something that causes you to have ill feelings. But folk don't have to do you nothing for some of us not to love them. And that's the wrong kind of spirit. It is not the spirit of Christ. You don't love folk because you know folk. Matter of fact, I've discovered it's easier to love them not knowing them. You're going to catch that on your way home. Because some things, if you knew about some folk, that would be a reason not to love them. Amen. I got one witness in the house. Loving one another, really.
And working together with one mind and purpose.
And working together with one mind and one purpose. Notice love comes before working together with one mind and one purpose. You see, because if you don't love the person you work with, that's already a damnation on the project. It's already doomed. Because if you got ill feelings from Jump Street, you're certainly not going to have the same mind. And you're certainly not going to agree with what they want to do, because you think what you want to do is better than what they want to do. So you ain't going to have the same purpose. It's got to begin with loving them. Loving them. Read on.
Verse 3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves.
Ooh, you got to read that again. Read it slow.
Don't be selfish.
Oh, my, right there. You might be sitting next to Sister Selfish and Brother Selfish. They already grunting. Don't be selfish. Do you know God does not like selfish people? He really doesn't. Matter of fact, if I'd be honest with you, and I'm sure if you would be honest with you, you don't like selfish folk. Because even the selfish folk don't like selfish folk. I'm not joking. They think they're the only one that have a right to be selfish, but they don't want nobody else to be selfish. All right, next part.
Don't try to impress others.
Now, that might be worse than being selfish. How many times have you heard folks say, but I can't go to church because I ain't got no new suit, I don't have this, or I don't look like y'all, or I don't have this much money, I don't have it, and you're doing it all to impress others. How many times folk don't get involved in ministry work because somebody else may do ministry work better than them? How many times folk refuse to pray in public because they can't pray like some folk who've been praying for years, and it's just a natural part of them. So you say, well, I can't pray, because you want to impress folk with your prayers. How many things in the church we won't do or we try to do to impress folk? Listen, folk that can't take you to heaven, nor can they send you to hell. And instead of impressing the Lord God, you worrying about impressing somebody who's going to talk about you when you get through impressing them. Yeah, he wasn't all of that. He went on with all that. He could have stopped 20 minutes ago with all of that mess there. Yeah, she was all right, but who she thinks she is, you know. You really don't impress folk. They may look and act like that just to give you what you need, the nod of, you went through all of that for me to do this, huh? Yeah. Trying to impress folk. And why do we want to do that? Because there's something missing underneath our skin. Our focus is not on Jesus. If I'm not trying to impress Jesus, it don't matter who is impressed. It doesn't matter who's not impressed. Because I don't get what I'm supposed to get if I don't impress the right one. Selfish, trying to impress the wrong people. Read on.
Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves.
Be humble, thinking as others more than, is what it's saying, than yourself. Now, what it literally means in that part about thinking of others more than yourself, it literally means to give consideration to their situation and to their weaknesses or to their issues. And don't always put your concerns first. See, a lot of times we don't recognize God blesses us more when we tend to others more than we do ourselves. See, sometimes you got these issues, these problems, et cetera, that you need to attend to, but a situation comes up and you move hastily to help this other brother or sister do that. While you're trying to help them work that situation out, while you're there worrying yourself with doing everything you can help do them, and you realize all my stuff is undone, when it comes time you taking care of your business, I got news for you. God will send help. God will make a way. God will take care of what you need taken care of in your time of need. But we've got to stop trying to be selfish and stop trying to be impressive, because we don't recognize God likes humble folk. Humble is the way. You've got to learn with one another. We've got to humble ourselves. We need to check titles at the door. We need to check assets at the door. We need to check accomplishments. In here, we are all God's children, brothers and sisters of the faith. We can't be like they talk about in the book of James, where someone come in with goodly apparel and rings and all of this. The ushers lead them up to the front of the church. Let somebody come in there with jeans and a t-shirt on, whatever, let's lead them to the back of the church. Why? Because they dress impressively? They obviously impressed you, but it doesn't mean they impressed God. See, the moment you stop being humble is the moment you start becoming prideful. God hates selfishness. God hates us trying to impress any and everybody other than him who can't do nothing about our situation but him. And we're not trying to impress him. Humble ourselves. I was a woman who had met the Lord Jesus at about 21 years old. And she stopped dating and all of that and became a missionary for the Lord. She traveled the country and she traveled internationally being a missionary for the Lord. And when she got to be about 45 or so years old, she stopped and started thinking, I've given most of my adult life to the service of the Lord and I'm by myself. I don't want to be by myself. I want a husband. I've given all of this time. I want to live a long life. And so she went to the Lord in prayer and she said, Lord, I need you to honestly tell me, will you grant me long life? I'm lonely. I want a husband. Would you give me a good husband and make us happy for the rest of our lives? And God said to her, you've been faithful. I'll do that. And so the woman got so excited. She got up knowing that she had heard from the Lord. The next morning, she went and joined the gym. Started working out, toning up her muscles, pulling off fat, shaping herself up. She continued on working on her physical appearance. But in the midst of doing that, she stopped going to Bible study. She stopped going to church.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's.
God bless you. This is Apostle James Brodnick's, your friend and your apostle of prayer. I am excited about what the Lord Jesus is doing through this miracle working prayer blessing ministry. Yes, the Lord Jesus is blessing ordinary people with all kinds of blessings.